Well, we're reminded once again by this wonderful Gospel of John just what an unusual crew of people the apostles are that Jesus has chosen. Each one of them has kind of a gift, and yet that gift can also be, you know, the flip side of the coin, as it were, and it can be their downfall. I mean, we've already talked about Peter yesterday having this wonderful gift, you know, capable of you know, such loyalty, such strength. Yet at the same time, Peter will blurt out anything in front of Jesus, and you just look at it and you go, oh my gosh, you know, can't believe he's saying this. And at one point, of course, and you know, in the Gospel of Matthew and Luke, you know, we hear, you know, he hardly knew what he was saying when he was offering to build tents for Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. And but that's Peter, but he's got this flip side. Nathaniel is obviously a person of some degree of sophistication, some degree of you know, a strength of character, you know, and he tells it like he sees it. And he probably is pretty well educated compared with many of the other apostles. So the first thing he asks, because he's a bit of a snob, is, you know, well, where's he from? I'll tell you whether he's the Messiah or not. He goes, well, he's from Nazareth. You know, Philip, of course, who's just as naive and lovely and innocent as you can be, you know, tells him he's from Nazareth. And of course, Nathaniel writes him off immediately, Nazareth. What good can come from that place, right? Small town, Billings, Montana, who cares, you know? So the key thing, of course, is, you know, but Philip prevails. And Nathaniel, no matter how you put it, the guy does have the capacity to reverse judgment on the basis of common sense and empirical evidence really quickly. Jesus sees him and he goes, whoa, there's an Israelite in whom there is no guile. In other words, you just tell the truth. You're amazing. And of course, Nathaniel's suspicious, you know, you know me? And of course, you know, Jesus says, oh, before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree. Arg, you know, of course, how could he have found out this fact? Because Philip hadn't been around to tell him. Nathaniel hadn't been around to tell him. Jesus already knows, yiko, this guy is not just some prophet. Maybe you are the Messiah, the Son of God. And Jesus is practically bowled over. He goes, wow, you know, reversal of judgment. First, I'm just chopped liver. Now, I'm the Son of God. Okay, Nathaniel, you got a gift. We're going to put you to good use. And of course, Nathaniel willingly complies. There's so many gifts in there. And Jesus, you know, Jesus isn't bothered by the snobbery. He's not bothered by the sarcasm. He figures all this will change in time. And so he plucks that fellow right out of, as it were, the ordinary cast, and he brings him into the apostles. He's done the same thing with Philip. He's not worried that Philip is a veritable innocent. You know, and of course, he's going to make kind of not so bright remarks. Jesus already knows he's going to be the type that will just innocently walk up to the Ethiopian eunuch and convert him. Jesus is not worried about the downside of these guys. Does he see the downside of Matthew? How can you not see the downside of Levi, the tax collector? He's considered to be one of the complete outcasts and worst sinners of Israel. Of course, Jesus sees the downside of Matthew. But he's not worried about the downside of Matthew because he knows that Matthew is going to be a formidable missionary once he's experienced the compassion, the love, and the mercy of Jesus, which is the compassion, the love, and the mercy of God. It's the same thing with Peter. Jesus is not worried that Peter's going to blurt out dumb stuff. He's not worried that Peter is going to just speak, as plainly and boldly as you can. Don't worry, Lord, we'll defend you. No, you shall never do that. That's impossible that that somebody persecute you. We'll build the three booths. You'll never wash my feet. That's beneath you. And of course, every one of those statements, right, Jesus has to kind of do a counter-teaching. But Peter follows, accepts the forgiveness, takes the instruction, and remains even more loyal than when he started. That's what Jesus sees in Peter. And of course, the same thing on the side of the women. Martha, who's clearly almost a perfect Peter correlate. Mary, who's a perfect John, right? Because John, a very gentle spirit, an introvert, kind of a guy who just likes hanging out with Jesus, just like Mary's willing to sit at the feet. He's the strong contemplative type, not a person of a lot of words and Peter boldness. But of course, Jesus is not worried about John's downside. He sees John's upside. This guy's so deep, he's going to ground the fourth gospel, no problem. So he's got a fix on these characters. They're all human. Martha's human. Mary's human, right? They got they're arguing with each other as good sisters probably do, right? And so forth and so on. And you can just see that Jesus sees through this kind of fallibility, and he sees the heart that's burning within, and by and large, just with a few notable exceptions like Judas, he is totally right in identifying the good news, totally right in seeing the hearts of these guys, and knowing that even without education, even without formal training in the gifts of speaking and writing, except for a few people, right? Maybe Nathaniel has some, right? Maybe certainly St. Paul has a great deal of that. But by and large, pretty simple people, that they're going to be the foundation stones of the church upon which this great edifice that'll be the salvation of human history is about to be built through the grace of God in Jesus Christ coming through the Holy Spirit. And Nathaniel is one of the pillars of that edifice. Amen.